All right. I had several questions afterwards and during lunch and after lunch and right before we started. So before we get back into it, let me just ask if there are any questions right now. And if there's something I'm going to cover later on, I'll just let you know I'm going to cover that later on. So, anybody got anything pressing, questions, anything at all? Well, you all asked them to me already. Okay. Some of you point at somebody. Who's got a question? I can't, John.
Okay.
The way it's set up, it'd be upside down. I did remember. Thank you. No? All right. Well, let's get right back into it then. We left off on meridians and pressure points. And the meridians, as a refresher, are energy channels that flow through the body. They have a point of origin, and they have a point of insertion, or where they go into a related organ. So you can control a physical organ in a person's body anywhere along that point, along those meridians. The pressure points themselves are the keys to activating. Now, you might say, well, why don't we accidentally stumble on these? Why don't we find these all the time? Because every pressure point needs to be activated differently. Some need to be rubbed, some need to be forced, some need to be twisted, some need to be torqued. There's a different activation method for all of them. And it's almost counterintuitive, which is no surprise, that when you naturally touch somebody, you don't activate them that way. It's not how you normally activate them. Brother Bill Gagnon's here. He reminded me last week that instinctively when I shake people's hands, I keep grabbing on pressure points because I spent years doing that. And so he shaked my hands. He goes, ah, nah, you're zinging up my arm. Ah. And sorry, Bill, but thanks for the reminder. You can't, you know, once you do something for that long, it's hard to stop. And I praise the Lord. I was telling somebody the story at lunch, so let me start with this, which is good. It comes back to how do you see your fellow man. When you train in this kind of discipline, everybody's an opponent. Everybody is out to hurt you or kill you. If you don't think that way, you're going to die. That's the philosophy behind it. Now, I will say to you that these techniques, how do you know they work, Jeff? How do you know that they will actually kill a man? Have you telling me that you've killed somebody? No, I haven't. But Chinese prisoners of war were given the option. You have a death sentence. We want to practice this on you. If you survive, you can go free. If you die, we know it works. And your sentence is filled. So this is the secret knowledge that gets passed down. Okay? Much like the meridians, the nervous system in the human body also runs in channels. And I'm going to preface this by saying again, we were unsaved. I was unsaved at the time. We got permission and we experimented on cadavers, studied nerves. And what we found was the body shunts or stops one-third of the pain. So you only really experience two-thirds of the pain that your body's experiencing. An exception would be spinal pain. How many people have had that? That's some exquisite pain. That's a straight shot right to your brain, and boy, you know it, okay? We learned how to bypass the physical nervous system by using the energy system and to turn that off. So, Bill, if I was shaking your hand and there was intent, I could cause you such excruciating pain with that one middle finger that you would feel like your arm was exploding. But then when I let go, it stops. So there's no injury. Well, that's Christian martial arts, because there's no injury. I'm not actually hurting somebody. Okay, I'm telling you all that because we're going to look at these meridians and everything. And let me go back. Let me show you something here. It's got a nice auto-save feature. Turned itself off. At least I hope it did. And the batteries didn't just die. There we go. How many people have heard of the third eye? The point right there which corresponds to it. I'm not going to get too deep into all this, but if you've done any study on that or even heard about it, supposedly that's the center of all power, comes out of the third eye. And it relates to the chakra system. Has anyone heard of the chakra system? We'll cover that a little bit too. But one of the reasons that we were always trained, and I train my students, when you fight a man, you look him right in the eyes. What my advanced students knew that I meant was you look them in the third eye. And what you do is you project your energy into their third eye because it's a direct gate into their energy body. You take control of their energy body and start destroying them from the inside out, so the fight's already won before there's a conflict. And a true fight is over in 1/10 of a second. It's determined that quick and it's done. Anything else, somebody's doing something wrong. Okay? That third eye is also used to project energy. So the whole idea behind this is to use your energy system and open up pressure points in your body to be able to control and affect other people. Right? Hocus pocus kind of stuff, huh? One of the pastors here said, I didn't know you were a warlock earlier to me when we were walking out. And I said, yeah, that's a good analogy, I suppose. So praise the Lord, he saved me out of all of that.
Amen.
I'm glad you guys had amen to that. Now, here's an example. Roughly, every pressure point has an area of activation, despite how you activate it, of about a quarter. And then what happens here, here's an example of, as an electromagnetic, you can take an electromagnetic or a bioelectric scan of the pressure point, and when it's affected, you can see the energy move. Okay? This is an example of that. Now, one of the things, we'll get into that later. I got a slide for that. We'll get into that later. Here's an example. Hey, Bill, you notice the point I always grab on you? You see it on that chart? This was for you, brother. I put this in here for you, okay? So this particular meridian, although in the picture it stops at the elbow, it actually goes all the way in, up the arm, and through, and into an organ in the body. And you can control everything along that path, but it's kind of like, notice they have well, spring, stream, river, sea. Qi in the body flows, kind of like your blood does. And Oriental Medical Diagnostics can take a pulse, just like a medical professional can. But there's three pulses that they take in the same area. Okay, so you can get a sense of somebody's energy body just from the pulse. If you're good enough, you don't need to touch them. In my Oriental medical practice, when people would come in, especially if they were previous students or previous clients, I would already know their primary energy type. Remember you said there's fire, metal, wood, water, earth? People tend to have one primary type. Some have a secondary. And so because of that, I already knew what music would help harmonize their energy body, and I would have that playing before they came in. I already knew what sense, S-C-E-N-T-S, would rebalance their yin and their yang, and I would have that misted in the air, that kind of thing. Okay? So the whole idea is there needs to be a harmonious flow along the meridians, and whenever that gets disrupted, it causes problems in the organ, which then causes problems in the body. Okay? Now, each of these is a different... Notice it's... I'll read the bottom to you here, because you can't see it. The point at which the qi rises is known as the jing well. That's up in the thumb. So the energy is coming like this out of the thumb, which is why there's several techniques to use your thumbs in attacking. You're actually transmitting that energy down from the organ through your whole body into somebody else. The yin spring point, and this all has to do with healing too, but we're not going to get into that. The point at which the qi glides is known as the yi spring. The point at which the qi pours through is known as the shu stream. And then, Bill, you notice that's the one that I grab on you by accident. So if you think of this as like a garden hose and the energy is streaming right through there and then I go like this and kink the hose, what happens? Well, Bill can tell you, that's a pretty annoying feeling. Okay, and then where it flows is known as the river, and where it enters inward into the inner body is known as the C point. So you can see there's a characteristic of each of these. I don't think you can see it on the large chart, but I'll point to it. All right. Can everyone at least see the full man here? You can at least see that? There has something right in the center, right here, called the Dantian. It's the gathering point, the primary place where people learn to harness energy. And the beginning cultivation all starts right there. Now, one of the things, since we're talking about the meridians, again, you won't be able to see all of this. There's something called a diurnal cycle. What does that mean? Diurnal, 24-hour period. Every couple hours, the energy flows stronger in one set of meridians and one set of organs than another, and it repeats every 24 hours. So if you know where somebody's got an imbalance, you'll know best when to treat them, or during what we would do during a time of day, we knew where to attack somebody. That's a lot of thought and a lot of effort if you think about it. Oh, it's 1 through 3. Anytime somebody comes at me, I'm going to be thinking about this organ and this meridian. And then when they come, that's what they're getting hit with. Okay? You see that there's a lot of discipline that needs to go into this. All right? Now, there's all the meridians. Now, does this have it on it? It doesn't have it on it. Okay. But you'll also notice that they say it's got the yang. In the yin organs, there are certain organs which are on the yang side, at the inside of the body, and certain on the yang side. Yin has a quality of receiving. Yang has a quality of promoting or giving out. And so, like, the right side of the body is yang. A lot of people will attack primarily with the right side and receive with the left side. We're getting somewhere with all this. All right. Dr. Strauss didn't know this was up here. He kind of covered part of this. You remember that big chart that I showed you? And I said, I'm showing you this chart for a reason to answer several questions later that came up, will come up. A couple of them came up already. In that chart, with each of those energy types, there's several different characters and qualities that go with them, including sounds. There's a certain sound that goes with each organ. We had a gentleman in our organization. I did not have this ability. But it's something that he did on his own, and there's a few people that were able to do it after him. And he called it Kiai Jitsu. Kiai means to scream or to yell. And he would yell at people and use his vocal energy to interrupt their energy systems and collapse them to the ground. He was using sound and vibration to do that. Now, one of the things that we discovered, and this is a chart from Dr. Hiyo Nanka from Japan, each of the organs vibrate at a very specific frequency. We all know that our human DNA vibrates at a specific frequency. We know that when things get out of vibration, they fall apart quicker, like in a car. If something gets loose, exponentially everything else starts to fall apart after that. This is almost impossible to use in an offensive manner, but it is critical to use in a healing manner. Again, if you can get a sense of where the organs are, you can sense which ones are out of cycle. It's just like taking a pulse, except it's an energetic pulse. Okay? Same kind of thing. So there's that kind of diagnosis as well. Go back to your sound. It's used for healing and it's used for harming. Boy, that's a lot of stuff, isn't it? Here's where it starts to get fun. All the theories start to get combined. You've got the yin-yang theory coming. When someone comes at me, I'm going to make sure that I attack both the yin and the yang side, left and right. I'm going to do quadrants, upper left and bottom right. Then I'm going to combine five element and pressure point theory. And what you would do, what I would encourage students to do, is you find about five techniques that become yours, that are like breathing. If someone's going to throw a jab, if someone's going to throw a cross, if someone's going to throw a punch, if someone's going to try to grapple you, if someone's going to... You find five, and you make them so they're like breathing. So when someone comes at you, they're on the ground, and you go, what did I do? I had somebody that, when I was teaching this in Maine, we had a wrestling group that all these groups would always say, yeah, this stuff doesn't work. And so we'd say, come train with us. Come experience. Come get some gnosko about this stuff. Come experience it. And we had a gentleman that he came up, he traveled from Massachusetts for a month. He came up to travel a month, and he knew no energy work. None. All I did was train him how to block, parry, and counter a straight jab. That's all he did for a month. But what he didn't know was I was showing him three pressure points to go after and how to activate them. And then he knew the end result was when the month was over, this person was going to attack him and take his head off. He was either going to hit or he was going to hit the person back. Now again, marring the creation of God. This obviously is not biblical. Well, within a month, he, and the guy just went right out cold. And it was all energy. So you don't need to cultivate this energy to use it necessarily. Which is why if you say, I'm just going to dabble in something, you could be dabbling in it and activating and using it without even knowing. No experience. So here's the yin, here's the yang, here's the whole destructive cycle. And you can't read that from there. So, all right, folks. Now here is not how you do it, because I'm not going to tell you how to do it. But I'm going to give you an overview. You're talking about this qigong, you're talking about cultivating all this energy. Well, this is the number one way that it started in a seated position. That Dantian I was telling you about, that center is right up front here. What you do is you cycle the energy, and first you don't even use your legs. You cycle the energy up your spine, over through the top, and down through your body. And what this does is this starts promoting and clearing out blockages. And eventually what will happen is the energy will open up. You'll feel everything just open up and it'll start to flow. And then once that happens, that's like the turbine. That's like the engine that all the energy starts going out through your meridians and you start getting control and functionality. You can start feeling all of your organs. I could feel all of my organs inside my body. Matter of fact, we had a practice where we would move and manipulate our organs and cause them to move within the body, to massage them. There's a whole other practice for that. Remember, there's a qigong for everything. Okay. This is what's called the microcosmic orbit, or the small orbit, because you're only cycling within your body. Now, this requires constant meditation. What are we supposed to be meditating on? The things of the body, right? Oh, no, I don't think that's scriptural. And it's a total focus on yourself. Now, this can be felt. When I would do my meditations, every single time, my cat would come running to get within inside my energy field. I didn't call the cat. The cat sensed the energy and would come running to be part of it. Animals can feel all this. How many people have dogs? Do they tend to know when something's wrong without you even telling them? See, people can, and animals, you can feel this, and you've experienced it without even knowing it. You ever been around somebody, and for some reason, they haven't said a word, and you just don't want anything to do with them? Or, I don't know why, but I really just want to hang out with this guy, and it has nothing to do with a Christian brother. They just exude something. There's an energy which is attractive to you, and you may not know why. This is the energy field. We all project it. And the people sometimes call it an aura. You've heard about that. And there's such things as you can train yourself with auric sight, that you can actually see that aura, and you can manipulate it. All right. Again, things we shouldn't be doing. But let me show you this. That is the microcosmic orbit. And this is it's a painting. And it was on a tablet in one of the monasteries over in Peking. Now, this is their standard art. To us, we're like, what in the world is this? And it may be hard for you to see, but here's the head, here's the spine, here's the feet, and there's the Dantian. Now, what is that? Can you see that? What does that look like to you?
Big Dipper.
Guys in front can see it. Why is that in there? Why is that in this picture? Because the microcosmic orbit's sole purpose is to move you into the macrocosmic orbit, which is connecting to energy outside yourself. Big red flags going up here, folks. Big red flags. This is from Dr. Mantak Shia's book. Notice we've got the same person sitting. Notice what his feet are resting on. Whose footstool is the earth? Oh, wait, this says it's yours. Notice what his head is connecting to. The macrocosmic orbit gets you to open up and connect your spiritual body with energy outside of yourself. Now, this can be done with animals. This can be done with plants. This can even be done with the energy movements of the seasons, which is why some people say, oh, the seasons are changing, I got sick. Well, there's a reason for that. You've probably got an energy type which is susceptible that time of year. And you'll see the same type of energy type people getting sick over and over and over again. Now, here's something interesting. I thought about this the other day, too. We know that there are several types of people, as far as the Bible is concerned, with spiritual gifts. And those people tend to act certain ways, according to the Scripture. Like Peter the prophet never spoke before he thought. That didn't happen, right? Well, a lot of these energy types have characteristics as well. Why are you laughing, brother? A lot of these energy types have characteristics as well. And so what happens in both of these fields is if you can figure out another person's energy type, you gain knowledge and power and control over them. Because now you know where they're strong, and now you know where they're weak. Okay? People, like for example, I always like to say this, who have a metal energy type, they're prone to sinus problems. So a lot of times that'll be a clue of what their energy type is. And then they tend to have a mental characteristic of the way they think and how they think and how they approach things. Okay? We would do, as a training session, we would have someone stand with their back to the entire class, and then at a command, they would turn around, and without thinking, they were to take their fingers, and they were just to attack the most vulnerable spot. And they didn't know who was behind them, and they didn't know how close or how far they were going to be standing, and it was training them to respond energetically to seek an area of weakness within a tenth of a second. It was spiritual reaction timing, spiritual reaction training. We all heard of muscle memory. Same kind of thing. Now, why am I telling you all this? This requires practice. This requires experience. This requires dedication. We're going to talk about intent in a minute here. We talked about the microcosmic orbit, which is internal. We talked about the macrocosmic orbit, which is external. One of the things that they like to see, and it actually works, is the micro in the macro. Okay? So if you look, and this is up here for a very specific reason, here's a picture of the ear with all the pressure points. Notice that the ear almost looks like what? Once you see it like that, it jumps right out at you, doesn't it? Now, would you be surprised to know that the pressure points in the ear all correspond to affecting that same physical spot in the body? That's by design. All right? Now, the pastor asked me to talk about piercings a little bit. I almost forgot to do that. But we know we're not supposed to cut our flesh. But when you pierce your body, most of the time, if you were to go back to that meridian chart, the pressure point chart, the most common places of piercings are exactly on one of these pressure points. What you're doing, it's almost like a self-mutilating acupuncture, where you're activating a point and permanently opening it up to energy or influence outside of yourself. Do you have any idea what energy you're bringing into yourself? For an unsaved person, it could lead to possession, and for a saved person, it could clearly lead to oppression. Okay? So that's pretty interesting. Now, I'll say this here. Remember we talked about the dantian being a center of energy and power? Notice the bottom of the ear, it corresponds with the head, which is knowledge. We were talking earlier about knowledge and power. How many people have ever seen a Buddha? What are the two characteristics which are grossly exaggerated on a Buddha? Earlobes, wow, and belly. Now we think, he looks stupid. He's got these giant elephant earlobes and he's just overweight and unhealthy. It's actually a physical representation of his immense knowledge and power. That's what it is. So when you look at that, you're laughing at him, but he's laughing at you. Okay? Get into the martial aspect a little bit. Bagua Zhang, five phases and orientations. We looked at this before about moving in a certain pattern and moving in a certain direction and moving in a certain energy. I want to make this point because I forgot to do it earlier. There's no such thing as just dabbling. You're either playing with it or you're not. Now, here's an example. Certain disciplines, certain activities have motions specific to them because they work, because they maximize that particular discipline. Martial arts is no different. Oriental medicine is no different. So when I stand here like this, what sport am I playing? How do you know that? It's a very specific movement designed to maximize that. Now, how many people spend how many hours perfecting their swing? You get coached to min-max and do things the best way possible. Martial arts is no different. You, even in your baseball stance, do you stand facing directly in? Do you turn it to 45? What's best for you? What's the best way? There's positions which affect the outcome. Martial arts is the same thing. Now, it's interesting that the term for this is pre-heaven and post-heaven. Right? You notice there again, there's all these crazy lines all over the place. If you picture either the martial artist, and this is the martial aspect, in the center, he can move in any one of these eight directions, and when he moves, he's interacting with energy in a very specific way based on the way energy flows. So if I know which way the energy is the strongest, I'm going to manipulate you to put you in that zone so that when I attack you, my energy is stronger. We used to train our students to do that at tournaments. There's a natural flow of energy. It flows from the northeast this way. I'd be curious. I've never studied ley lines. I'd be curious to see if there's the same kind of correlation. But it's what we call the terms murderous chi, because it's just like a rushing river when it flows that way. So you don't want to be at the other end of that when you're fighting somebody. But if you switch it, your attacks are that much more powerful. I had a girl who was, boy, I don't even know, 90 pounds soaking wet. She was a twig. There was nothing to her. And she was in this one tournament, and there's nobody in her weight class for her age. So she had to go in to the lowest weight class. These girls still outweighed her by 30 pounds. And, you know, the refs were concerned. This is a full contact match. She's going to get broken. I said, she's fine. She kept attacking from that direction. She actually kicked a girl out of the ring who outweighed her by 30 pounds. It was shocking, but it's using the system. Okay. Now, how many people have heard of feng shui? Only a few? Yeah. That's a way of taking an energy natural in an environment and all those things which it can affect and manipulating them to harmonize the energy in a home or in a property. It's using all of these same principles. Okay. This is the one I really wanted to get to. Remember that inner circle? How many people have heard of martial artists doing forms or patterns? And, you know, you can compete with those and get up there and do that. We think what we're doing is practicing a bunch of moves, but what's actually happening is we're tuning our antennas in to that energy around us, working our energy body so that it starts learning to work with the energy outside of us. And exactly how I position my feet and my hands and my body has a direct effect on those that come within that energy field. This, to me, is the one big reason why we should never even practice even one iota of this. Because you don't know exactly what you're turning yourself onto. Now, do you remember the picture where we saw the Big Dipper? We're connecting, and I should have showed you this too while we were there. This section here says phoenix, harrier, unicorn, monkey, lion, snake, bear, dragon, and then there's more. This ties right in with the Chinese zodiac. Did you know the Chinese zodiac is actually a representation of linking your energy body with the stars as well? And most of the time people go to the zodiac for what? Knowledge. Advanced wisdom. They're trying to get some kind of foretelling of what's going to happen. Those fortune cookies. All of that. We won't get into that. But Pastor taught a while back that there's several verses that teach that, and we know some of these, that angels are stars. At least some of the stars up there are angels. We know that Satan's going to fall as a star, don't we? Job 25:5, I think, is one of them. So every time you look up at the night sky, are you looking at a burning ball of gas, or are you looking at an angel? Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you get your microcosmic orbit flowing? Why don't you open up? And why don't you reach out to that angel and ask that angel to infuse you with power, knowledge, and energy? And why don't you just hope it's not a demon? I'm just meditating. I'm just sitting in my living room just meditating. That's all I'm doing. No, you're not. These charts and everything, you can find representations of these now online. When I was doing this, you couldn't find these. This was secret knowledge that was passed on that nobody had. How many people have heard of the Shaolin monks? You can go Google these guys and watch them do some things which defy physics. They'll take a spear, they'll place it in the butt end in the ground, they'll put the point right in their throat, and then they'll walk into the spear until the spear bends. And the sheer physics and the amount of force that is being pushed into their throat with the tip of the spear makes no sense. One of the things I learned in geology in college is everything has a dent. There's a denseness or a hardness scale. And skin is very down near the bottom. Mm-hmm. Even just the tip of a spear would go right through that. And then they take the spear later and they put it right through something. It's not fake. Why isn't this ripping this man's throat apart? He's using something called Wei Qi, or external energy, or an energy field which absorbs kinetic energy and reshunts it through his body down into the ground. What? Yeah. This stuff is real. A lot of these Chinese myths are actually based in some kind of reality. Now, there comes a point where you take this beyond, and I think you're inviting demons to help you do this kind of thing. I was one of those people that had a Christian martial arts school, and I gave the gospel. Even as an unsaved man, Brother Metacroft, I preach repentance. What do you think of that? Huh? Maybe somebody got saved from an unsaved man preaching the gospel. There's no such thing as a Christian martial arts school. That's like saying you've got a Christian Satanism practice. There's no such thing. But when my senior students graduated and became private students, and then I taught them the macrocosmic orbit, this is terrible, but listen to this. This is the advice that I would give them. When you complete the macrocosmic orbit, It's like sending up a flare into the sky, like one of those giant lights that advertises car sales or something. And it's spiritual and demons can see it. It's not a matter of if they're going to come after you. It's only a matter of when. When that happens, you better call on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. A lot of bad theology there, but you know, I didn't know any better. But even as an unsaved man, I recognized what was happening. See all these people that I led to this? It's heartbreaking. But we'll get into it. We're setting a pattern here. All right. Let's get into... Actually, let's hold this for a second. What we're going to do is, at the end, I've got a series of, I don't know, 15 or 20 talking points that I'm just going to go through briefly because I want you to see that this permeates just about everything. I'll throw out some terms. I'll give a little discussion on them so you can see what it is we're talking about here. Now, what I found interesting, Pastor, your aeon and ecclesia, how the Satan or his emissaries are actually making a mockery of the very words of Scripture. Remember we talked about chakras? Chakras are a group of energy points along that main meridian, which the whole idea is to activate them through yoga or a kundalini practice. And the third one up, the third chakra up, is called Nabiya. Now, do we know that word from anywhere? That's the Hebrew word for prophets. Mm-hmm. The Tanakh, the Torah, the Nabiyim, the Ketuvim. There's a mockery on the very Hebrew word in the prophets of the Old Testament within the third chakra system. I mean, when you start studying this, you see it everywhere. There's just Satan going like this, constantly at the Scripture. Aeon, Ecclesia, Nabiyim, prophets, that kind of thing. You also mentioned in your article, you talked to that woman about Jewish Kabbalism. If I were to put up a chart that I have, which I did in the cults class, you'd be shocked to see how completely it mirrors what we've talked about here. The Jewish people and their Jewish mysticism have a whole system which completely mirrors this. There's, remember the deification? Deathlessness. They believe that you only have so much energy within your body. And a lot of that resides in a man's issue. So men are never to basically procreate. That goes directly against replenish the earth. Talk about going right against Scripture. There's a practice, and I'm not being indelicate here, where you implode and nothing comes out. It's called the art of clouds and rain. When I was teaching this to my advanced students, one of my Jewish students was horrified. He took me aside and he said, "How do you know our secret Jewish practices? This is only taught to men who become men. This is a Jewish secret that nobody knows." Well, Satan. Satan teaches the same thing. Okay? We'll skip that. We also talked about cutting of the flesh. What's a tattoo do? I'm not picking on anybody that here has tattoos. I can't see under your shirts. Okay? But what does a tattoo do? What does a needle do? It cuts the flesh. It pierces the flesh. Remember we talked about those Shaolin monks that could take the sword and not have it pierce their energy system? That weight on, we all have that, it's just we haven't exercised it. So you've got like an Olympic weightlifter versus you and me. Yeah, I can lift my briefcase, he can lift me. Okay? Well, the weight on is a cultivation of energy which also prevents external pathogens from affecting your body in much the same way as it shunts actual energy. Remember, energy can affect energy. One of the requirements at a certain level in the training that I had was that men had to take their palm, the flat of their palm, and they had to shatter wood this thick. And you think, wow, that's pretty impressive. That's not the part, that's not the test. The test is they had to have no sign on their hand that they had done that. So if you've ever taken your hand and just slammed it on the floor, it's like a million bees stinging you all at once, and your whole hand turns white, and it's traumatic. Well, the whole idea is they've learned to channel and shunt that energy so that it has no effect on them. That was their test to pass on to the next level. Okay? Now, we'll cover that in the talking points. Let's go on to this next. Let's show you just how prevalent this is. Now, I haven't looked recently. This is from 2012. This is Hartford Hospital. These kind of practices have become so mainstream and are prevalent everywhere, and they're put out as something good, something beneficial. This is healthy. It's helpful for you. Well, let me ask you this. Just because somebody wants to help you and is trying to help you, does that mean that they're actually helping you? Can you hear my water, Jen? They could have the best of intentions, but still not know what they're doing. Many, thank you, brother.
Yep.
Many martial arts instructors right now have no idea what they're exposing people to. If you think about, well, at least recently, where martial arts came from, we'd go across seas, we'd take our superior firepower, we'd suppress somebody, and then we'd stay there. And we'd see all this culture doing maybe Tai Chi or moving around doing all this stuff. We're like, what is that? That's a fighting form? Well, I want to learn that. Well, now that I've defeated you and oppressed you and wrecked your entire economic system, okay, G.I. Joe, you want to learn? Fine, you pay me. I'll show you. They're not going to tell you their secrets. So what do? They teach you a bunch of forms. And the forms actually have secret techniques in them which aren't anything what they're teaching you. They're practicing their martial art through you and you don't even know it. Case in point. Everyone has seen a block like this. Who in their right mind is going to take the smallest bone in their arm and smash it into an oncoming bone? Two bones, most likely. That's just stupid. If anyone understands physiology, you're just not going to do that. Well, guess what? That's what they're teaching you to do. And you know that block isn't even a block. It's actually a defense for a front choke grapple, which renders somebody unconscious. You'd never know that, because all you did your whole life is train to smash your small bone into somebody else's arm. Boy, they pulled one over on us, didn't they? Secret knowledge. The same thing goes through with Oriental medicine, although nowadays it's become more prevalent, and because it works, it's becoming more popular, and the best and the strongest combination you can get, unfortunately, is combining it with Western medicine. And that's what they're doing. Sometimes you don't even know what you're getting. So here's Hartford Hospital, and here's some of the things that they offer. Now what I did was I just highlighted a few of the things that jumped out at me in yellow. The Leibid method, focus on healing, movement to music. Well, our pastor taught several months back that the only time that you do any kind of movement to music, which is called dance, is in worship of the Lord. Not in healing. Not in healing. I sent him a video the other day. There was a concert violinist, and she was practicing, and there just happened to be two elephants. I don't know where she was, but there were two elephants outside, and the elephants were moving with the music. And I'd seen I don't remember how old the child was. He couldn't have learned this. He was too young, and somebody was playing some kind of music, and he was rocking out to the music, going right with the music. Well, we've seen that the energy body is affected by energy, including vibrations, including music. He's not here, but Pastor Breeden came down at one point, and we were going to go out to lunch, and we were lockstep in this. We're talking, and we're excited. We haven't seen each other in a while. We're walking into TGI Fridays. At the same exact time, we both stopped because we could hear the music coming from the place. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we both just turned around and went back to the car. We were engaged in what we were doing, but that music hit us at the same time. We were sensitive because of the spirit, and we realized what it was doing to us immediately. We said, no, we don't want any of that, and walked away. It's critical what you listen to. It's critical what you don't listen to.
Amen.
All right? Pilates class. One of the most frequent questions I get about this kind of thing is, well, can't I do Pilates? How popular is that right now? That's like the new exercise form that's out there. Well, I'll tell you this. Pilates is based on strengthening the core, basically. And there are some Pilates which are safe, but notice this. Combines elements of yoga. Almost all Pilates does that. Are you discerning enough to know which elements of yoga are being put in or which aren't being put in? I don't know every form of yoga out there. I wouldn't touch Pilates. Look at this. How much yellow is jumping off of this thing now? And I know you guys can't read this, so I'm going to read for you. I'm going to get a little closer. Cancer Wellness Support Series in Hartford. Qigong energy healing. Right here in Hartford. Cancer Wellness Support Series. Many integrative medicine practices that can support your traditional medical care and enhance your healing. healing the whole self. What do they mean by that? They're talking about your energy body as well. It's very clear by what they're saying here. Creating forgiveness in our life. What's our Bible verse for that? Let's see. Negative emotions take up much room in our heart. Inviting forgiveness into our life allows a place for more peace and happiness to enter and expand as well. Is release the stress and tension. Oh, here it is. Guided meditation till we get to a place of peace and balance. What does that mean? Why don't you come in and we'll get your microcosmic orbit working. And you know what? You feel better afterwards because you are more balanced. And guess what? You're going to come back for a second trip. Let me throw this in here. We had a gentleman that was coming for seminary training. And somehow he found out that I knew about this stuff. And he said, we've got a couple that are being caught up in faith healing. Does any of that tie in with this? I said, oh boy, does it. Yeah, it sure does. And I said, well, what kind of faith healing? He said, you know, they take them by the hands, and then they go like this, and they go, and they fall down. I said, that's the first knockout I teach my basic students. Said, what do you mean? This is the very first knockout. Now let me ask you this. If I had said to you before you came in, pretend you knew nothing about this class, have you ever felt the energy in your meridians racing so much that it excited your whole body and your hair almost stood on end? You'd be like, what are you talking about, Jeff? Experiences. Gnosko. If I can give you an experience that you have never had in your life, and then I tell you that's God, you're going to believe it. Especially when it has an effect on you, and especially when it has the effect that I predict before I do it. That's faith healing. Now, Qigong can work to heal a lot of things, but there's also miraculous satanic healing as well. We know that. So we were able to expose, we did a little 20-minute documentary, sent him back with a video to show these people. Unfortunately, they didn't repent, and they kept going with it. But that's part of the danger, because once you experience something, it's real to you. Your flesh says, you can't tell me otherwise. I felt this. You're telling me it's wrong. It wasn't. It was good. It balanced me. I felt wonderful. I've never felt like this before, and my problems are gone. How can that be bad? That's part of the danger. Hypnosis, the anti-diet. Hypnosis allows you to understand your relationship with food and your body from the inside out. Well, remember on that chart, that Xing Yi chart, there's foods that go along with each of the organs as well. Certain foods balance certain energies in your body. Certain colors of certain foods indicate which foods you should eat based on which color the organ is, the color associated with the organ. Use hypnosis to slay the anxious. Fears drain our energy and keep us back from being our best and truly enjoying life. I'm thinking of several verses that really would come to mind instead of this. All right, how about this one? What's the soul again? The entire person. What does the world say the soul is? Your spirit. And keep that in mind when we read this. Colors of the soul, unearthing your deepest self. Join us in a process where art becomes soul with a series of beautiful meditations after which you would create a page of soulful art. You want a birthday present for your wife? It's a class. Get her a nice one. How about this one? Hypnobirthing. Yeah. Guided imagery, visualization, special breathing techniques, and self-hypnosis. Now, I've been waiting to share this part with you with breathing. Remember we said what qi was? Vital breath. Breathing is one of the keys in how to breathe to cultivate the energy. I would teach, I think it was over 16 forms of breath techniques to harness and cultivate the qi. And it'll just give you a perfect example. How many of you have ever watched your child or your grandchild breathe? Do they breathe with their lungs or do they breathe with their belly? Breathe with their belly. What do you breathe with? You breathe with your lungs. It's not the most efficient way to breathe. And it's not the way that channels energy into the Dantian. If you learn singing, you learn breath control. And where do you learn to breathe from? Diaphragm. It expands, it does more. See, there's a way to min-max everything, including the energy body. Hypnobirthing, there you go. Meditation is a life skill. Now, wait a minute. When I hear life skill, that sounds like essential oils to me. I need this life skill. Physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. Whoa. We're going to achieve success. Who wouldn't want to achieve success in all those areas of their life? You'd be foolish not to sign up for this class, wouldn't you? Many different forms of meditation, silent, guided, breath-focused, body-focused, and prayerful. Well, who are you praying to? This class is highly experiential. Got warning bells going off here? Now, go into your home areas, wherever you're from, and go look at your major hospitals. Just, you can go online. I'm sure they have these classes offered. They're advertising these. Just go look at what's being given to your sheep or your children, your family are exposed to. Now, remember we talked about positions aren't natural? Martial arts positions aren't natural. It's not like you're going to accidentally stumble into one. Look at this lady doing Tai Chi down here. It almost looks like she's saying, don't mug me. Right? That's not a natural position. When's the last time you walked around and went? It's just, you don't do that. Transforming your life, the unseen energetic keys, unseen. Right away, that says secret knowledge to me. I made the mistake at one point of one of my senior most students. I had mumbled under my breath and he heard me. I said, boy, I really got to document those 8 forbidden points. What? Forbidden what? What were those? Nothing. No. You've got to show me those now. They're forbidden. I have to know them. Flesh. That's what this is appealing to. Root causes of what's really blocking you from getting what you want in life. There's something stopping you from getting what you want. Something blocked that needs to be cleared. Does that sound like Scientology at all? Wonder why. Same Satan, same plan. More energy for life and healing. How many people are tired right now? You guys want to go to bed? You want to take a nap? Hang on. Let me go sign you up for this class real quick. Learn how to activate your healer within. And learn simple self-care practices such as Qigong, Qi self-massage, and Tai Chi. Easy TM that will help you to calm your mind, relax your body, and increase your energy for life. Who wouldn't want that? They don't give you any warnings with it. And keep in mind, they don't really even know most of the time what they're getting you into, and they don't know themselves.
That's right.
They think they're doing something good for you because it works. Look, I've got results. It works. Yeah, but what about people it doesn't work for? Let me give you this now. Well, we'll wait till we get the yoga classes. Basic therapeutic touch. Learn an energy technique which honors the Lord. No, wait, that's not what that says. That can help you decrease pain. Oh, please. And stress, yes. Accelerate healing and enhance well-being based on research and used in hospitals and colleges worldwide. Therapeutic touch, you know what that is? Well, it's your energy body interacting with somebody else's. We did a form of acupressure /shiatsu, which, well, I got to tell you, it was one of the best feeling things. Your body felt so great afterwards. You felt like you were a brand new person. Your aches were gone. You had no pain. It was amazing. And, boy, I'd love training students to do that. All right, time for your test. I'm laying down. Here you go. Even in the act of doing that, I was allowing them to open me up to other forces outside of myself. I mentioned earlier Reiki. How many people have heard of Reiki? That's been fairly popular, maybe not as much recently. Reiki is basically somebody opening up your energy directly to universal energy or energy outside of yourself. Now, here's something scary. Can anybody master anything in a year? Do you think you're capable of mastering something? I mean, being truly the master of something? You can be a Reiki master in a year. Why? Because another person will come, open up all of your energy channels, and get you to be able to use this universal energy like that, because it has nothing to do with you. It's almost outside of your control. Matter of fact, part of the tenet is, I'll open you up, and your body will take what it needs. Yeah. Wow. Don't ever go to a Reiki practitioner. Okay? That's just like saying demons. No. That's what that is. Tai Chi. Tai Chi, in my opinion, is probably one of the most advanced and dangerous and deadly martial arts out there. An ideal exercise and meditation program, improve overall fitness, balance, coordination, agility, reduce the chance for a fall related injury. A lot of times you'll see older people doing this. In China, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people will gather and practice and do this in the mornings, in the afternoons, in the evenings. It's part of their culture. It is their religion. You wonder why China's so closed? to Christianity. They don't need it. Well, they do need it. You and I know that. But according to them, they don't. They've got inner peace. No, they don't. They've got inner harmony. No, they don't. They may have some health that we don't have. Okay. Did you know, by speaking of that, you know, in America, we don't have an appreciable level for health. You're either sick or you're healthy. There's levels and degrees in other cultures of where you are health-wise. All right, yoga classes. Here we go. I want to spend a little time on this. Yoga is becoming the thing nowadays. I mentioned in the beginning of the lecture that Pastor Hammond had related that, I wish I could remember the town, someplace just legalized yoga. And after a review, what they said was, it's not spiritual, it has no mysticism, brother, to use your word from earlier, it is just a physical exercise routine. And then they showed people in these yoga poses, which you would think their spines were breaking. Okay? They're kids, so they can do it. Fun while significantly boosting your immune system and relieving that lingering stress. Group-focused interactive games that stimulate laughter while promoting proactive connections with others, good health, and just making you feel good. Yoga is designed primarily to open that microcosmic orbit. And there's a specific kind of yoga which is very popular called Kundalini yoga. I don't know if anyone's heard of that. You ready to get scared? This is their terminology, not mine. There's a sleeping serpent in the base of your spine. Yoga's purpose is to awaken that sleeping serpent so that it then, this is their terms, races up through those meridians, and the serpent itself generates the power. I'm going to read you something. You tell me if you want to sign your kids up for this afterwards. One of the books in my old library, titled The Serpent of Fire, A Modern View of Kundalini by Daryl Irving. Here's chapter 5. Now, you want to be a yogi practitioner? Here's the title of chapter 5. The Downside of Kundalini, Madness. All capital letters with an exclamation point after it. Sign me up. Now, this goes on to describe several narratives of several men, some of who were renowned, some of who created some of this stuff. These were the guys, okay? And here's right from the book. All four Kundalini narratives describe symptoms one would expect to find in the case history of asylum inmates. Gopi Krishna, you may have heard that name, heard roaring sounds, saw showers of light and satanic creatures leering at him at night. Added to that was the inability to focus his thoughts, the perception of a tongue of flame licking his organs, and a sense of fires raging like a furnace within. I'm going to butcher this name, the second guy. Krishnamurti's symptoms could have been equated with lunacy, the presence of mighty beings in his invisible world, fierce pains in his head. Remember that one, fierce pains in his head. The out-of-body experiences, the disintegration of his personality, leaving only an elemental part of consciousness remaining, or the walk that left bits and pieces of himself behind on the road. Third person, Dr. Motoyama, tells of the sound of buzzing bees around his tailbone. Where does that serpent start? Down to the base of the spine, the tailbone. Of visions of light invisible to most other people, and he reports confrontation with a demon. He describes a time when he stood paralyzed with fear at the edge of an abyss inside his own head, and details of out-of-body experiences and conversations with spirits. And here's the author of the book. This is Daryl Irving. I fled in terror from a crawling, undulating tapestry and experienced flames burning inside myself. There were storms bursting in my head, and I heard and saw a wall whispering. Sounds familiar? Same things here. Finally, my personality was totally shattered, and I ended up dismembered on a bed. On the surface, it would appear that any one of these symptoms would have been enough to usher the four of us right into the inner sanctum of any institution in the Western world, but these are classic symptoms of mental disorder, and each of us was disabled by our symptoms as by any comparable patient in an asylum. You want to sign your child up? These are the people who perfected this, in some cases created it. This is the purpose of yoga. Now, I had a student, and keep in mind, near the end of my training, this stuff started to get published. These kind of things. What happened was people said, hey, they're giving away our secrets, well, we might as well make some money off it. And all these Chinese and Japanese started authoring books. And so this became available. One of my students was just a Qigong student. He was a martial artist. He had some he had polio. He had some physical deformities. He wanted help with pain. And he felt like he needed to get ahead, like this is how he could get ahead. And so we were training, and he called me one day, and he said, oh, sir, I just bought this book. Oh, it's a great book. I said, don't read it. I know the book. Don't read it. You're not ready for it. Okay. Now, in that world, when your instructor said something, you just did it. There was no questions asked. You just did it, and that was it. They knew best. Guess who read the book? 1 a.m, something like that, I get a phone call, screams on the other end of the phone of sheer agony. Sir, my head is exploding. It's cracking. The whole top third of it is just ripping off. And he's screaming in agony. I knew exactly what he did. He read the book. He did these practices without knowing how to keep the energy moving and flowing, so it all just pooled and it got stuck. So I talked him through how to release it, and he was better after that, and we had to come in and have some sessions to fix the damage. This is not kid stuff. This stuff affects you physically and emotionally. This is yoga. Let me read again. Yoga classes. Fun while significantly boosting your immune system. Yeah, my head's tearing off the top of my body. That sounds fun. And relieving that lingering stress by screaming tapestries and talking with demons and fire throughout all of my organs. Do you think that they know this is where this can lead? Or are they just so arrogant that they say, I can make sure that never happens to you? Or are they saying, I just hope you don't try to take it a step further on your own? In any case, stay away. Stay away. Peggy Huddleston's Prepare for Surgery, Heal Faster. Guided imagery. Proven by research to help you prepare emotionally and physically for surgery. Only a couple more here. New yoga and meditation for everybody. Mm-hmm. Why? So we all can be oppressed or possessed by demons. Yoga and meditation have been proven to have many benefits for both the body and the mind, and they have. But let me ask you this, where's the line? Do you know? I don't know. I don't know when I go so far that I'm inviting a demon to oppress me as a saved man. I don't know where that line is. I just know the Bible says don't have any experience with it, period. The gentle series of yoga exercises will stretch and strengthen muscles, release tension and stress in the body, improve range of motion in the joints, and help to quiet the mind. Prenatal yoga. What? Yeah. Prenatal yoga. Improve your strength and muscle tone, ease tension, and relieve discomforts in pregnancy. Now you're exposing your unborn child to it. Are they part of your body? Yeah, they're being affected by it too. Don't let your wives do this. The happiest baby involves soothing sounds. Now we know babies respond to sound. Do you know that they respond to energetic sounds even better? Comfort measures for labor. How many people have heard of a doula? Led by a certified labor doula, licensed massage therapist. Anyone heard of a doula? You know what that is? Okay. What's the Greek word for that? Or what is that Greek word?
Slave.
Yeah. Servant. All right. Slave. Well, what are they serving you up? You're letting this person into your home and into your life to work with you and your unborn child and your family, and most of the time, they have a background in Oriental medicine. All right, that's the next section. Any questions on any of that? I know that was a lot. Sir?
Yeah, I noticed even in some jobs, they offer the yoga stuff now at their jobs. You know, actually my sister, she did not participate in it, they might have fired her.
Right, and for those of you who couldn't hear him, he said that there's some companies which are now offering yoga, and if you don't participate, you get fired. That's you know, I don't know how many of you work in corporate America. I do. Daryl does, I'm sure some of you other do. When a company puts forth a program as an offering, they're not really offering it. They're telling you they expect you to do it. And they'll be tolerant of other lifestyles, but not tolerant of yours or your religious beliefs. It happens time and time again. So I'm not surprised by that, really. Not at all. And for some reason, I keep hearing that about yoga. Yoga, 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 which is why I really kind of hit on that here. Okay? Anything else? Oh, sure. Yeah, the question is about hypnosis. And, you know, the common thing about hypnosis is they always say, well, you can't be hypnotized unless you want to be. Well, that's true. Because why? You're opening yourself up. You're allowing it to happen. And somebody who's a skilled hypnotist, whether they know it or not, they're still using these principles. All right, I'll share this with you.
Yeah.
Sir?
The word yoga is a Hindu word, means yoke.
Right.
So it yokes you up to what?
Right. He said the Hebrew word for yoga is,
Hindu word
for yoga is yoke. So what is a yoke? You yoke up an oxen and you force it to do something and plow.
Beast of burden.
Beast of burden. So what are you getting yoked to? That's a very good point. Pastor Charles.
I have a question.
Yes?
When you're talking about the organs and their cycles, is that relatable to, was that vibrations? Or was that cycles of what?
Yeah, the vibrations are a constant. They should always vibrate at that frequency when they're healthy and functioning normal. The diurnal cycle, the 24-hour cycle, is how and where the energy is flowing through the body in a 24-hour period. So every 3 hours, it's stronger here, and then it moves to this organ, then this organ, then this organ, then this organ, and that's a constant.
So that's not, say, vibrations, that's cycles of what? Or is that part of the energy vibration as opposed to that physical sensation of any kind of...
Think of it as a movement of energy versus a vibration. Because the organs always vibrate at the same frequency, period. Whether there's a lot of energy in them or a little energy in them, unless there's a problem with them. But that diurnal cycle is, let's say you got one worker. Well, right now, although I'm watching everybody, I'm focusing on the liver. I'm done with him. Now I'm going to move to the kidney. Now I'm done with him. Now I'm going to move to the pericardium. Now I'm done with him. So that's where it's the strongest at that point. It's almost like a balancing and a flushing cycle.
But you're talking about pure energy vibration as opposed to the cycles being something physical.
Correct.
So
correct.
It sounds to me like it would almost be the contrary to that very thing. So again, it's the opposing of that very...
Right. We had a gentleman who joined our organization who was an electrical engineer and a mechanical engineer, and he got trained up to a master level. And what he did was he created a device that you can't measure chi. You can't measure it. Nobody can. There's no way to measure it. But what you can measure is the effect. And so he created a device that would watch an organ and see the level of effect that an energy attack or healing would have on the organ, and we were able to kind of reverse engineer and get a level of measurement based on that versus the actual energy of the chi being used instead. Okay?
Reactive.
Basically, yeah. The whole hypnosis thing, Daryl. This is not something I'm proud of, but you need to be aware of this because people can do this to you unless you're filled with the Spirit. One more reason to be filled with the Spirit. I had an interview, a job interview, and I didn't know it at the time. I was meeting a man in a hotel lobby, and I didn't know that it was his first time running a team, first time managing. He was more nervous than I was. This guy was sweating bullets. He was shaking. He was just, I couldn't believe it. I thought maybe he was on drugs, just the way he was so nervous. Eventually, I found out it was nerves. And so we were basically sitting 90 degrees at one another, and he was sitting with his legs crossed and his arms crossed. And what I did was I took my energy field and I extended it over his. Now, you've heard of people that have been able to control their heart rate, slow their breathing, child's play. That stuff's easy when you do this kind of stuff. The trick is you can do it with other people. So when I did that, I had my body in the same position as he did. And as I slowed my breathing and I used the sound of my voice and the energy of my voice, his breathing slowed. and his heart rate slowed. When I uncrossed my leg and opened up, he uncrossed his leg and opened up. And you know, at the end of the interview, you know what he said? He goes, well, you know what? You're the first guy I've interviewed, but I feel so comfortable with you. You're my guy. I'm not interviewing anybody else. Hypnosis. See how that works?
Manipulation.
Manipulation. Yeah. Energy is emotion. Emotion is energy. Brother.
I'm just wondering, you talked about certain different practices of yoga and things inviting a demon possession almost. What is your thoughts on a believer being possessed by demons or being affected by this? I'm not sure where you're talking about the energy stops and where the demon begins. You know, I'm a little curious about that.
That's why I was very careful with the words that I used. I don't believe a believer can be possessed, but they can be oppressed, which is why I use that term. I think unbelievers can be possessed, obviously. So that's the fine line, the way that I see it, based on Scripture. So, does that answer it?
I think so.
Okay. I was going to go somewhere, but I forgot something. All right, let's hit this real quick. Remember, now keep in mind, folks, let me just reiterate this again. You never would have seen this stuff if I wasn't asked to do this. I'm not bragging. I'm not showing off. I need to convince you that this stuff is real and dangerous so that you can have a biblical defense and stay away from this, okay? At the time, Black Belt Magazine was the magazine for all martial artists nationwide. You're nodding your head. You've probably seen it before. Okay. Here's one of the issues in Black Belt Magazine. Because what we were putting forth was so new, number one, other martial arts forms were scared of it because if it was true, then all of their martial arts were a mockery and they really didn't know what they were doing. So they would say, well, it doesn't work. Fine. Come to our seminars. Look, you're attack me. Whatever you want to do, throw it at me. Let's go. Boom, look, you're unconscious. Now tell me it doesn't work. Well, it's dangerous. You're really damaging the body. You're really causing all these kind of problems with people. This was an effort to quiet them up. This was a study done at Penn State University with some of the top neurologists in the country, 7 hours of study. Here Dr. Chaz Terrier is wiring up one of the folks with blood ox meters and all kinds of things to check and monitor. And the idea was, let's look and get the cause and the effect. Let's measure this. They wanted to see what would happen when we would do one of these techniques. Yeah, that guy getting hits me, in case you can't see that far. So what was happening here, although you can't see it, there was a second control person in the back. And right before the person got struck, he would yell out two words, simple words, like apple dog, something like that, to test cognitive recall afterwards. So in this particular case, an example, I'm being struck in my stomach meridian. I go down. Look at the doctor on the left. He was there. You can't see it in pictures, but the reaction was so extreme. He was like, oh! Because these are all neurologists. They know the way a body is supposed to react. But when you use energy, you force the body to react in ways that it doesn't normally react. All right? So then they restored me and brought me back up. Now, through the 7 hours, partway through, these guys took off their shoes and their socks and they jumped on the mats with us because they were so excited. Here's neurologists seeing something that was never covered in school that they can't explain. They were getting effect, but no cause. None of their equipment measured any of this. So they were excited. And look at what one of this doctor says, Dr. Strecker. He was intrigued by what was not happening. Watch his words. I find his words very interesting. We know it's not a seizure, he said. We know it's not cardiac arrest, at least not for a long period of time. We know that the blood does not desaturate. Whatever it is, it's incontrovertible that it does something to the person. You can't miss that. But Strecker was not at all bothered by this. In fact, he seemed quite pleased. It turns out that if we find nothing, that's the most exciting thing of all, because then it's something we don't yet have a good explanation for. And here's the part which I find interesting. He said, if it stops the heart, big deal, we understand that. But if it's something completely different, it'd be nice to understand what that is. The best part is to learn something new. So the techniques were exonerated as not harming people. This got written up in American medical journals and went everywhere. All right? Right before this happened, they were taking measurements of folks. And, you know, people were excited. So their heart rates were up in the 80s or in the 90s. And these are people that are like, you know, their resting heart rate is probably 60 because they're all in such phenomenal shape. The two students I brought with me were both doctors. And they're both chiropractors. I'll answer that chiropractic question here. And one of them challenged me. He goes, I bet you can't get your heart rate down into the 60s, sir. So when they took mine, I was on like a 62. Because I just lowered it when I went up there. Chiropractic, somebody asked that question. I don't know if there's any chiropractors in the room, but a real chiropractor, a true chiropractor, actually takes more medical training than most brain surgeons. 8 years of medical school. That's something, huh? These two guys were real chiropractors. These some of the smartest men that I knew. One of these chiropractors wound up coming down with a disease that one in every, I think it's 6 million, 600,000 or 6 million, but I think it was 6 million men get. And there's only three people in all of North America that even know anything about it, that have any skill with it. And he self-diagnosed himself and revolutionized the understanding and treatment of this disease. That's how brilliant this guy was. Chiropractic, when done on a physiological level only, is okay. 90% of it, maybe more, is not. That's the problem. We had some people in our assembly that needed to get something adjusted. They were in accidents, they had problems, and things were out of joint. They needed to get put back in joint. I went to this chiropractor. I said, here's why I'm here. Our church members need to get adjusted. I'm here to find out if you use Eastern medicine. He said, oh, not at all. I hate that stuff. I separated from my partner. Because he did, you ever heard of Reiki? They did this wavy stuff on me, and it was weird. I was tingling and mumbo-jumbo stuff. Everywhere. No, I don't have anything to do with it. I said, okay. So I said, well, I'd like you to adjust me. So when he was adjusting me, I was purposely moving my body in such a way that if he had a muscle memory with energy, he'd use it. And every time he pushed me back in just a physical position, he didn't have any idea. I said, okay, he's safe. You can go there. Most of them use some form of this. I know some people that have, why don't you come in and why don't you get a massage beforehand and relax? It's easier to adjust you after that. And then you find out that they're giving you a shiatsu massage and you don't even know it. All right, so be careful. Yes, there are good chiropractors. I forget who asked the question. But most of them you have to watch out for. Okay? Now, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Now let me do this, because we only got 15 minutes left. Let me shout out to you several things here having to do with things that fall in these categories. Acupressure. People have heard of that? Acupressure. That's using your body to manipulate pressure points to relieve pain, agony, harmonize, or rebalance a body's system. Acupuncture. How many people have heard of that? Using needles of various sizes in the acupressure points. Now, what does that do? They put a needle in, it activates that point, and they leave it there and leave it open to what? Well, they're tying you into universal energy. That's what they're doing. Now, personally, I believe that's a lesser form to do that. I think a true practitioner doesn't even need a needle to open that up, because that's what you should train to do as a higher level practitioner. But it's opening you up to energy outside of your body and keeping you open to it. We talked about breathing shiatsu. People have heard of that. Sometimes they talk about Bed Bath and Beyond. They've got shiatsu massage chairs. Have you ever seen of those? You sit in the chair and it supposedly gives you a shiatsu massage. Well, it really doesn't. But that's what they're trying to market it and sell it as. We talked about astrology. We talked about auric sight a little bit. We talked about the chakras. Krillian photography. How many people have ever heard about that? You seem to have heard about all this, brother. Boy. So you know that that's taking a picture of an energy, some kind of energy source coming off creatures, and where's that coming from? That's that energy again. We talked about dantians. We talked about directional energy, energy flowing around. Feng shui, we talked about that. Food, herbs. We didn't talk about herbs. Can't believe nobody asked that question. The Bible specifically talks about herbs, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That comes down to intent. Again, intent. If I'm going to use an herb, it's just like eating a piece of lettuce. Is that bad for you? Is that tapping into anything energetic? No. But when I start using these principles along with it, my intent is to connect to that energy, to do something with my energy body, to get a greater or a bigger effect from what I'm doing. Okay? There are any food out there has an effect on your body. Your body is a finely balanced chemical instrument. When it puts something in, it's going to change and affect your body, period. So I had someone earlier say, well, I put lemon in my water. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you understand what a lemon does, let's say with bronchitis, and you know how to use that with the energy body at the right time, now you're playing around with something else because you're opening up parts of that body that wouldn't normally get opened up just by drinking lemon water. You see? Intent. Oh, we talked a little bit about what's called iron shirt qigong, that the Shaolin monks, how they can put that spear on the tip of their throat. Now, I'm not going to tempt you with this, but there were two practices that they were famous for. And here's monks, here's religious people that were some of the most predominant fighters of their day. They were almost seen as magicians and mystics of what they could do. And you could go on National Geographic and pull up some of the videos, and it just doesn't look normal. How are they even doing this? Is it defying the laws of physics? Well, it is. That's what this stuff allows you to do. You become supermen. One of the things they were known for was iron shirt qigong, or getting their bodies to the point where they were impenetrable. You've heard of people getting hit with sticks and they don't feel it. That stuff happens. It can happen. That's the iron shirt. We talked about living creatures and the qi that they have that's neutral. They can sense it in you. You can sense it in them. The last 2 days that I was sick, I don't think my dog was any more close to me than the last 2 days. I couldn't get her off me. Normally, she doesn't do that. moxibustion. How many people have heard of that? Ah, I got you. I'm not even going to keep your hand down. You have it at all. Using mugwort and heat directly on pressure points. It's like a cupping. And you use it to open and expand. Heat does what? Heat expands. Heat opens. Cold contracts. If you have an open wound, you want to get like some vasoconstriction with cold. That's why you put ice on that to restrict it. It's opening your meridians and your energy points up to stuff again. Oh, reflexology. We didn't touch about reflexology. How many people have heard of that? That's, again, the macro and the micro. So supposedly, not supposedly, it works. That can affect everything in your body from points on your hands. All correlates with part of your body. Your feet, the same thing. That's why somebody can just work on your feet. We talked about the seasons all having an effect. Now, there's several kinds of therapy, which I want to throw out there so you're aware of, so you stay away from them. Nature therapy. Getting in tune with nature. Allowing nature to have a change or an effect on you. There's several things which are available, I don't know about here, I haven't looked locally in a while, but to bring you in tune with nature. Nature walks, which designed, they're actually qigong practices, where you mirror your energy with trees, and you allow the balanced energy of the tree to rebalance you. You know how I said I over-patterned on somebody else? You can allow something else to over-pattern on you. It's almost like cleaning the template, if you will. We talked about sound therapy. There's certain sounds and vibrations which affect you more than others and help harmonize all that energy stuff we talked about. Aromatherapy. I think we touched on that a little bit, right? Same thing. Your body's going to respond to that energetically the same way. Now, we didn't touch on this, color therapy. How many people have studied color therapy? Maybe in insane asylums or something. I remember when I was in college, I was taking psychology, and we had a whole class on color therapy. This color tends to calm. This color tends to do this. This color tends to do that. You know what? They do. And when you combine them with these theories, they're exponentially more powerful. Why does red get your attention? Why are fire engines red? West Springfield, Massachusetts, for a while they changed all the fire engines to yellow because yellow had the same kind of effect. You just pick up on it. It has an effect on you. And we're not going to get into that. Okay. I think we'll leave it at that for now. So those are some things I wanted to throw out just so you heard them, so you know they're tied in. So in case anyone questions you or asks, or one of your sheep comes to you and say, yeah, but what about this reflexology stuff? All they're doing is rubbing my big toe. Boy, it feels good when they work the cuticles in my nail. That's just wonderful. What are you doing? Stop. You don't know what they're opening you up to. Any more questions? He was first.
Oh, sorry. What do you think about applied kinesiology? Have you heard about that?
Yeah. I have. I think what I'll say on that one is I don't know enough about it to make a comment commensurate with this level of a sermon or of a message. But if you want, give me your email address and I'll send you something later.
The photography you were talking about before.
Brilliant photography?
Yeah, is that the one where people lose a finger and they take a picture and the finger's still there?
I don't know that it's ever been used for that. Have you heard of that? Been used for that? I don't remember ever hearing that.
There's a thing, I believe that's what it's called, but somebody will lose a finger, they'll take a picture of their hand against something, mm-hmm. and it'll show the energy.
Well, that's another good point. That's another good point. Phantom limbs and everything, yeah. Why do people still feel them? Why do they insist that they're the energy body's still there? Mm-hmm. The energy that extends through your fingers or through your arms, just because your arm's cut off, that's still there. It doesn't go anywhere. I can feel it. I know it's there. Of course you can. You're feeling the energy body. That hasn't changed. Speaking of that, there's an interesting practice. What people would do for that is, like, say I lost my left arm. They'd have somebody stand in front of a mirror, and so that they would see their arm on that side, like a reflection, and it tricks the mind into resetting, and then the phantom pain stops. They would do things like that for that. It's all... because they know, your mind says, I know something's there. Your mind, which is spirit, says, I can feel your meridians, which are spirit, but my eyes are telling me something different.
Something's still there. Mm-hmm. They did that with leaves, too. They show a leaf cut in half or a piece of it split. They show a leaf, the energy going towards where it's...
Right, because all living things have this energy.
Off, and the other half is still there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're all vibrated into existence, right, Pastor?
Amen. Amen.
Anything else? Yes, sir.
Do you agree that there's exceptions to all this? There's exceptions to techniques and what can be done to certain people and stuff.
There's exceptions? What do you mean by exceptions?
Well, you know, when I was practicing, there's some people you couldn't do risk techniques on, no matter what. And you could have Godzilla there. And they could have...
I see what you're saying. I mean, there's some things that work better on certain people than other people.
Yeah.
You have to figure out the energy body of each person. And then, interestingly enough, racially, there are some things. For black people, we found out 33-34% of them were resistant to certain pressure points in the arms. Nothing you did worked on them. Nothing you did. Okay, don't use those.
Noses too. We're taught with African Americans, noses too.
Yeah, there's certain people, and again, the physical characteristic of somebody basically tells you where they're weak. So when you turn around, the first thing you notice on somebody, that's normally the area where they're weakest. You know, we were trained for that. And it's normally the area that they need help with when they come in for a treatment as well. Well, you, Bill?
You had mentioned, and I've heard this before, that the vibrations with creation or the idea of sound, mm-hmm. very powerful. You had said that one of your students used mm-hmm. the sound
yep.
to actually...
Well, it was one of my students. It was one of the other masters.
You know, could actually disable somebody.
Yep.
Well, this is documented. You can see this on the internet. Two students somewhere out west have developed a device that projects a sound, and that sound will put out a fire.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. Did everyone hear that?
You can see it. You can see it happen.
There's two people out west. He said you can even look this up online. They've created a device that uses sound to extinguish a fire.
Or disperse a crowd.
What's the distance? On that, out of curiosity.
They did a close, like a bucket that they put on fire, and they just brought it over to it and put it right out.
Yeah. It's very powerful. That's very powerful.
When you were, you have the figure eight diagram of the footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Catholic churches in Europe have a maze pattern
now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And walking a maze is an esoteric, right?
That's a good point. That's a very good point, Pastor. Yeah. Yep. Hmm. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right. Did you everyone hear that? He said that a lot of
Catholic cathedrals
have walking patterns right in the floor of a walking pattern. Wonder what that's all about. We have those in our church, right, Pastor? When we come in, we have to walk a certain path to get in, right? It gets them in tune for your message, right? That's what that is.
Maybe the marks in the floor from lunch.
Yeah, lunch marks, yeah.
About the aromatherapy you were just talking about. Well, I like candles, and I find candles to be very soothing and relaxing or whatever. When you get into a lot of the different, like, people like the white candles and whatever, is that opening yourself up to?
It comes back down to that intent again. It's the same thing with herbs. It's the same exact thing. A smell is a smell is a smell. Unless you start using it for more than that. Now, I doubt you light them at the same time every day and put your body in a specific position while you smell them and, you know, fold your arms in a certain pattern and meditate a certain way. Then we'd be concerned, sister. Then we'd be talking. No, but a candle's just a candle. Yeah. Say again? The Holy Spirit's interaction with energy? Well, we heard it right from the beginning. Vibrated everything into existence. That's God. From what? I'm not really sure what you're asking, brother.
Well, you said that demons can interact with people.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. I don't know if I've actually thought about it in terms of the Holy Spirit using this kind of energy that way to interact, because all of the power that's talked about in Scripture, the Holy Spirit, I mean, He gives it to us right from Him. So that's an interesting question. We were talking earlier about the fact that the energy in our bodies, which was created in us, is used in different ways to do different things. For example, when... I don't want to use that example from earlier, brother. I want to think of something different.
You ever
sneeze and see lightning bolts? I've sneezed and seen thunderstorms.
There's an electricity.
There is.
Inside of you.
There is. Again, my first thought on that, my first instinct, like I said, I haven't really thought that through to that degree, because from what I see in Scripture, the Holy Spirit doesn't condescend to you something lesser than that which He has to work with already to give us, like we saw in Ephesians 1:19. Mm-hmm. Why would He condescend to use anything else when He can give us divine power, which is what He does? Having said that, we know that the Lord does work through His creation, and that energy is part of His creation. But I hadn't thought to go look in Scripture to see if there's any examples where He actually does use that energy.
Well, 1 Thessalonians 2:13, He energizes us through His Word.
Right. Mm. Oh, that's true. Yeah, we did bring that verse up today, didn't we? Yeah, that's that same kind of energy. Yeah.
It seems as though occult forces take over an element of our person. So we yield to outside control, which is close to possession.
Right.
But in 1 Corinthians it says the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. The one who fruits the spirit is temperance. So I think when the Holy Spirit interacts with us, He increases our ability to control ourselves. Rather than demanding control from outside.
Right. Yeah, remember we said earlier that the only defense you have against this is being filled with the Spirit. Yeah. We talked about in the fullness being the pleroma. Oh, I forgot to mention that. I want to do one more pleroma thing while we're at it. And that ties in perfectly right there. Colossians 2:10 or 9, I'll read it to you. It says, "For in Him dwelleth all the fullness, or the pleroma of the Godhead bodily," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "and ye are complete." That word complete is also pleroma. "In Him, which is the head of all principality and power." The second completion there is a perfect passive participle. God did something in you, which continues to this day. You didn't have anything to do with it, because it's passive, and it continues and doesn't stop. So that may answer your question right there. I knew I was forgetting to bring something up. Thanks, brother. All right, we're a little over. Anything else? All right, any other questions? Just send them all right to Pastor. All right, Pastor.
All right, very good. Appreciate that. Appreciate good. A presentation Jeff's given all of us, and the questions answers and so on. So what we've tried to do here today is try to give you an overview from Genesis to Revelation of Satan's technique, his knowledge of God's creation. He's sung us into existence as vibrations, and these vibrations manifest materially, so that's really what we are. And Satan knows this, and so he taps into the vibrations or the energy to our destruction. So we as believers, we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and then the Word of God for our defense. And so here's some biblical teaching that keeps things very simple here. So some of these things that you've heard for years, this is not just some Baptist preacher telling you to read your Bible. There's a certainly a spiritual aspect to it that will help you and benefit all of us. And so appreciate all of you being here and the opportunity we have to consider these things. And so we want to keep the occultism, we want to keep all of this out of our churches because we're knowledgeable and keep our churches spiritual and holy. So this is the goal that we have here.